to it. And as I mentioned earlier, we do have many other topics of discussion that we want to discuss in this year. Because having been a pastor here for some time now, a little over a year, you kind of learn some of what the people know and learn their hearts a little and the kind of things that they are dealing with and kind of where they are in life. And you learn a little something about your pastor and how he is and things about that. And then some people are new coming into the church, and so they have information that they need. And so you have quite a few things that help you shape what goes on. And then, of course, there's always the continuous leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always leading us and guiding us as we go through everything. And so I like to teach sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And because that's who you're really going to need. I mean, when you come into church, you get to hear God's word, and you get to deepen your understanding of what God says. But when you go out those doors, that's when you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. I mean, you have to rely on the Holy Spirit in the doors too. But I'm saying especially when you are outside the church doors, amen, it is necessary for you to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was going to ask Donovan if he would see if he can start the, open the lens and start the video there, over there. Maybe he can. All right, because we forgot to do that. Brother Ron is out today, out at the Consumer Electronics Show. And we want to continue to pray for him as he is out there. Amen. And one thing that we want to do here today, just to get us started here as we begin this new year, this is a special message of encouragement and explanation of the life in Christ, because that's where we are if we're saved. If we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a lot that goes along with that. And so we want to just talk about that a little bit today so that we can have an understanding a little bit, because we need to know about the life of Christ, which is available by the mighty hand of God. God has supplied his son to make all these things possible to those who believe the age-old message that God, who has made it known to all the earth, God has been broadcasting in the earth. He was broadcasting before radio and before television in the world. He did things to make himself popular, if you will, to set his name on high, so that he would be known in all the world. The things he did are incredible, actually. Things like you hear about God back in the days of the children of Israel, bringing them out of bondage through the Red Sea on dry land. We're still talking about that today. That was a historic event where God sent Moses to deliver his children from bondage, to bring them out. And he opened up the Red Sea, and they went through on dry land. Stuff like that. And that's a famous thing that can't be squelched. People today would like to squelch some of the things that God did in times past. Stuff like that. Some of the older people sing a song that there was a man down by the river giving sight to the blind. You know, you can't squelch that. That's something that's so awesome that people will talk about it in all of time. Things like raising Lazarus out of the grave after 4 days. And they said, and his sister said, "Lord, don't roll that stone away. He's stinking." You know, because she knew that he was in there rotting. Yeah. And Jesus said, don't you know who you're talking to? I am the resurrection and the life. She said, "Yeah, Lord, I believe in the resurrection. Later on, he'll rise." He said, "Oh, no. Back up that train. I am the resurrection and the life. You know, if you believe in me, even though you be dead, yet shall you live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" He asked. Things of that sort. That's some of the stuff that was so famous it couldn't be sequestered. It could not be held back. It couldn't be covered or put under a bushel, as Jesus said. And so those type of things, that's just going around in the culture. Much less the record that we have from God and his word, the Bible. Even in the days of the psalmist, I got something I said before you here. I'm going to ask the deacons to go ahead and read these passages for us, a couple of brief passages. From one of my favorite psalms, Psalm number 98, and we're going to look at about 6 verses of that, not the whole thing, but you can read it when you have opportunity today, and also Ephesians. I kind of came right in the middle of this to extract an idea for our message today from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24. So we're going to ask you to give attention to these texts right now. Pay attention to the reading and the hearing of God's holy word. Amen.
O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, with the harp and the voice of a song, with trumpets and song of cornets. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. We love that. May the people of God celebrate the hearing of the word of the Most High God. Yes. And now for our New Testament scripture reading.
This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and wickedness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen. The reading of the word of the Lord to the people of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And we want to use for a topic for this message, new life in Christ. Amen. New life in Christ. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we exalt your name, Father. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for that you have published your righteousness in all the world, that all the ends of the earth really know about you, oh God. And Father, we just thank you for that broadcast of your mighty arm, your holy arm that has revealed your salvation in all the world, Father. We pray that that arm would go forth as a rushing mighty wind, bringing others to understand what you have done. Oh God, you have done many things to make famous the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we can see it. It's evident. It sits right before us. So we pray for more boldness, Father, as we come in these last days, when there's much evil focused against the truth, oh God. Many lies. The devil is running rampant because he knows he has but just a little time left. Telling lies, and he is the father of it, oh God. So we pray for a strong voice, oh God, that we might preach your word, oh God, in these last and evil days. We pray that the saints would not be buffeted or knocked to and fro by the lies of the devil, oh God. We pray that you strengthen everyone in their heart, God, by the Holy Spirit, Lord. And we pray that you bless everyone with boldness to stand, oh God, as they go forth in your name in this year, in 2016. Help us to realize the new life in Christ that you have called us to, Father. Sometimes we need a pep talk, oh God, just to realize who we are in Christ. And so, Father, today we ask that you just rejuvenate everyone under the sound of my voice, whether it be in this room or remotely, oh God, online, or however they hear my voice, Father, we pray for rejuvenation, that you bless every mind and stir up that which is in us, God, that we would not go dormant or timid, oh God, for you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Oh God, we bless your name right now. Father, we ask for understanding in the sanctuary, and we give you praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we ask. And the church said together, amen. Amen. New life in Christ. You and I have been called to new life in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? I always like to talk about that. Where do I plug into the great scheme of things that God is doing in the world. Well, the psalmist said that God is worthy of praise. You ought to think about what God already did. When people are complaining and they are upset or going through changes or being deceived or any of those things, you and I ought to be giving God praise. He said, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. We can think of new things to praise God about. For he had done marvelous things. You know, you can just look around. It doesn't take much to look and see the hand of God. In spite of how wicked the world has become and things that people are doing against the truth and against the church, we hear about more and more wicked stuff going on today. You know, people being assaulted because of their faith. We hear about so many things where the government is trying to muzzle people to stop them from speaking the truth. Anything else is fine, long as it's not the truth. You can't say that this is the truth because they want, oh, that's your truth, and they want to try to put your stuff in a can. But all the fact is that God has made his name famous, as this text said, in all the earth, no matter what people say. It says here, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory.
Yes.
Now think about that. That's the place where the Bible tells us Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. In other words, the work he did was perfect. No high priest ever went into the Holy of Holies and sat down. There was nowhere to sit in there. There was a seat in there, but it was called a mercy seat. And you wouldn't dare put your happy hips up on there. You know, so nobody would ever sit there. You know, that was the mercy seat, the seat of God. That was the place where the blood was poured upon the altar once a year for the cleansing of the sins of the people. And the high priest had to go in the outer court and offer a sacrifice for himself first before he even went in there. Then take the blood after he had washed himself and did all these things with a rope tied around his ankle because nobody would dare. It was an awesome, awful place for a person to go. And that priest would go once a year on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and stand in front of the veil. Nobody even knows how he got through the veil because you couldn't even come close. You had to stay back outside while the priest was in there making the offering for the people. And so, and the writer to the Hebrews said it has not yet been disclosed how he entered into the veil. Nobody even knows how God brought him through the veil into the Holy of Holies. Because no one was ever there to witness that. But somehow God brought him through. And the instruction was put a rope around his ankle. Because he came in here and he didn't have himself together. He hadn't prayed right and asked God to forgive his sin. And he hadn't made the right offering, then he going to drop dead and put a bell on his ankle. I think the bell was kind of like a way of knowing that he was still living in there. But when he was in there, it's a terrible place to be standing in front of that Ark of the Covenant, which was a box made of acacia wood overlaid with gold that the tablets of the testimony and Aaron's rod that budded and a golden pot of manna was inside the Ark of the Covenant and had a lid called a mercy seat with two cherubim that overlooked the mercy seat where the blood had to be poured once a year for atonement for the sins of the people. And so all the time in there, this high priest, knowing that he himself was not righteous in and of himself, was strictly in there by mercy. That's where that seat was called, the mercy seat. Because everybody coming in here needs mercy. You and I need mercy. It's mercy that by which we are saved, that God offered his son, Jesus Christ, in order to give us new life in Christ. So when we are in Christ, now what happened, the transition was, Jesus Christ was not only the Son of God who made him the Prince of the King, the Most High King, but he was also the Great High Priest. He had a threefold office, prophet, priest, and king. Theologians call that the munus triplex, that he was a threefold office. He was prophet, priest, and king. And he came into the world to fulfill all these things. He had to prophesy what's going to happen in the future. Some of the prophecy of Christ is yet to be fulfilled. And he came to fulfill certain prophecy himself. And over 300 things that God had prophesied in the old covenant were fulfilled at the first advent of Jesus Christ when he came into the world. He came to fulfill prophecy in order for you to know that what this is here about God, he says that his right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Now he came to attain the victory over sin and over death.
Yes.
Jesus came all by himself to take that fight up against Satan, against the world, against the flesh, against the devil.
Yes.
And it was God's holy arm that allowed one person to come through and execute all of that. Because God had said that he would send his son all the way back from the book of Genesis. Jesus also fulfilled the role of high priest. He was crucified outside the gates of the city, lifted up high on the cross, where he had been nailed to pay the penalty, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but he himself was the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29 says, John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't come with another lamb, a one-year-old lamb. He came at the age of 33 as he began a ministry at the age of 30 that lasted for 3.5 years to offer himself as a ransom for your sin and mine. And whosoever believes in him. So he was accomplishing this thing where he is now, after he completed it, he sat at the right hand of God. The Bible says he ascended up after he had defeated the grave, death, and hell. And so God's holy arm has brought this to pass, and he has gotten him the victory. God is victorious over death. Now, you know what? He only did that for me and you. We're the ones who need to be able to defeat death, hell, and the grave. That's why the Bible says whoever believes in Jesus Christ will be saved. God will save you from the penalty of death, separation from God. He does that by calling you into a new life, a new way of living in Jesus Christ. Now, you'll notice the phrase "in Christ" is a very popular phrase in the New Testament. But God did this. It was his holy arm that came right in the midst of sinners who hated him and were against him. And he perfected salvation once and for all for whoever believes in his son. That's why it says here, his righteousness he has openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He came right in the midst of people who didn't trust him, didn't believe in him, thought they could be saved by good works, which is a defective way of thinking. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with good works. It just means that you can't keep perfect good works, therefore you cannot be saved by good works. I always like to tell people there are two ways you can be saved. You can be holy from the womb to the tomb, never violate God at all your life, and go to the grave with no sin. Now, if you can do that, you can be saved by good works. The truth of the matter is, no one has ever done that. The only one who did is Jesus Christ. He's the only one came out of the womb that was God's only begotten son, that walked perfectly and spotlessly throughout his entire life, gave his life by his own free will, was sacrificed, crucified on the cross because he allowed it, not because somebody forced him to do it. He allowed it. He knew that. He said, it was for this cause came I into the world, to give my life a ransom for many. In other words, the devil was holding believers, those who trust God, hostage. And you know how people take a hostage and they say, well, if you give me $10 million, we'll let him go. You know, that's called a ransom. Well, the devil had all of mankind ransomed. That we had to go to hell because we had no way that we could be right before a holy God. So he held us in the captivity of sin because all have sinned, the Bible said. And come short of the glory of God. You know, and so God came in into the midst of that. That's why it says here that we should sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. It's a victory for him because he loves us. He always loved us. He loves us, and that's the only reason why it is a victory for him, that I'm saving you. I'm making what you need available to you. I'm coming right in the midst of a bunch of heathen who hate me. Heathen are folk who don't know me, who think they can get saved another way. I'm coming right in the midst of them, and I'm saving you. I'm redeeming you out of sin. The Lord had made known his salvation. You notice how he possesses this salvation? His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. Israel was the vehicle through which he sent Jesus Christ into the world after 42 generations from the call of Abraham. And he says, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. So that's why God has Christ right in the middle of 2016. That's about Jesus. That says 2016 years ago, God sent his son into the world to become a ransom for your sin. So it's known around the world. People like to act like they don't know it. But the fact is, the calendar saying, you a liar, you do know it. You know, you do know it. Why? Because what does that mean? That means that Jesus Christ was born on that Christmas 2016 years ago. And he has the whole world. God has made it famous around the world in spite of what people think. And notice what it says. Our response should be this. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Y'all always like that. I said, God, put that verse in there for me because I don't sing so good. So I can make a joyful noise. I'm going to give him some praise one way or another. I don't have to be Frank Sinatra or any of them. I can just lift up a joyful noise and give him praise. And he put that in there for me so I can continue to praise him. Then he says, for all the earth, make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. He says, use every instrument you have. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Amen. That's why we like to bring in instruments to give him praise. With the harp, with the voice, he says here, in a psalm and with trumpets and cornets, and make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Amen. So it is a comforting thing just to give him praise. You know, God says a lot of folks are worried about a lot of stuff, but my people, I want you just to praise me in the midst of it all, because I have done excellent things, and my arm has set this salvation up for you. So God has always wanted to save everyone, and he wants you to know that he loves you just like you are. He has provided a way for all of us to be saved from our fallen state, which was caused by the fall of Adam and is inherited by birth to everyone. But he has made a way for all to be redeemed, which has always been by faith. Salvation is by faith. You can't be saved by good works. You can only be saved by faith. And when you are saved by faith, it produces good works in your life. See, that's why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, it's a gift God gives you, not of works, lest any man should boast. We don't have anything to boast about except how holy God is. So we praise him. We give him praise. We have nothing to boast about, but he says we are his workmanship. In verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, so he called us to walk in good works. That's why he has given you a new life in Christ. Now that means when you become a part of the church, God has something for you to do. He doesn't want you just to sit around and come in and go out and have no impact on the world or anybody around you. God is calling you to a new life in Christ. And you know what? When I got plugged into the church, when I realized that there was nothing I could do to save myself, I came to church. I heard one message after I'd been out of the church for years. And it got a hold of me, and I ran to the front of the church. I said, I want to be saved. Whatever God has given free, I need it. And I found out it was free. There was nothing I could do to earn it or deserve it. That he had provided it for whosoever believes in him. Whoever believes that God has raised his son from the dead, the Bible says, shall be saved. Yes. I said, wow, that's the only way you could be saved. Because you haven't done everything right. And so from that moment on, I have been in service in the church. I went and found a way. I said, okay, I can play music. So I went and asked the musician at the church where I got reconnected to God, do you mind if I come and play? And she said, certainly. We rehearse on Wednesday night or Tuesday night, whatever it was back then. I started serving God right then and there. And so God had moved me from there up to this very second, always being in service. I always found something else I can do and to occupy my mind and keep my mind on the thoughts of the things of God. And so my life began to change. Back then, I was a complete wretch, undone. I'm pretty much a wretch undone now, but I'm better than I used to be. I've gotten quite a bit better over the years through God working in my life, giving me more understanding of his word, giving me power over sin, giving me the right ideas instead of the wrong ideas, showing me he divided between my life what's good and what's bad. And it comes through my service to the Lord. And so that's why I always like to encourage people. When you get saved, come in. Find somewhere you can plug in the church. Because you are a new creature in Jesus Christ if you are saved. He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, what does that mean? That means God puts to death all that old dead stuff in your life. Everything that's a lie. Everything that's wrong that the devil taught you. That he uses to keep you bound. See, he said, that's all dead. and you have a new life in Jesus Christ. See, and so he wants to teach you that all things have become new. And so you do that by understanding the word. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul was instructing the Ephesians, and we're just going to pop into it a little here, right in the midst of chapter 4. Because we know at the beginning of chapter 4, Paul says that you all have been called to a new hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. See, and that's contrary to the world. The world thinks there are many gods. The truth of the matter is there's only one God. There only ever has been one God. And everything else that calls itself God is a figment of Satan's imagination. And he gets other people to buy into it. You know, and so you got a lot of stuff that says it's God. And they're going to all find out on the end of when God draws the line, which is coming soon, that there's only one God. And he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father, who sent his Son to redeem the world from sin and fills everyone who trusts him with the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them to all truth. There are no other gods. I just want to be flat about that. I don't care what the world says. Y'all can say, Fisher, that's politically incorrect. Yes, it is. But it's the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So I say the truth, and I don't care who doesn't like it. If you don't like it, something's wrong with you. You need to repent. You need to get right. You need to get on your face, because one day, the Bible says, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then we'll find out at that point, that's the time you don't want to find out that there's but one God. And you've been trusting something else that can't get you through. Jesus is the only one got out the grave. Therefore, he's the only one you ought to trust. See, Buddha didn't get out the grave. I'm not going to start naming all the false gods that people have concocted in their own minds under the leadership of Satan. Because there are plenty of them, and we don't even have time. But Jesus said there are only two ways, the right way and the wrong way. If you trust in me, you're on the right path. If you trust anything else, it's going to be sinking sand for you. And so the fact is, and we need to be black and white clear about it. Somebody gets mad, too bad for you. You don't have a heaven or hell to put me in. I'm trying to tell you how not to go to hell. So you need Christ. So he said to the Ephesians, therefore, he said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. That's where all these other gods exist, is in the vanity, is worthlessness, fruitlessness of the mind. You have concocted something in your mind, or you believe a lie somebody told you, they can't save you. You see? And if, you know what? I don't want to trust anybody. If you can't get out the grave yourself, how are you going to help me? You see what I mean? So he says, don't you walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened. See that? Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their heart. Blindness is not something that necessarily happens to the eyes. In 2 Corinthians 10, it says Satan has blinded the minds of those who do not believe the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So you can be blinded in the mind. You can be blinded in the heart. But if you want your eyes open full wide, trust in Christ. He says, notice that. He says here that by the blindness that is of their heart, and then who being past feeling, they got to the place where they can't even detect or feel that which is true, have given themselves over to lasciviousness. This is the kind of stuff Satan in the flesh bind people to. Lasciviousness, that's one of those words that means lust, unbridled passion. People are stuck on it. They get on it and they get addicted to it. And to work all uncleanness with greediness, they can't get enough of it. But ye have not so learned Christ. See that? If so be that ye have heard him. Have you heard Christ? Christ says, I'm calling you to a clean life. I'm calling you to a new life. I'm calling you to a better life. I'm breaking the chains of your past. And I'm showing you a bright future up ahead of you. He says, so it's a new life in Jesus Christ. So you have not so learned Christ, you Ephesians. Ephesus was a place where they indulged themselves in all these kind of things. You know, they had orgies talking about we're going to get closer to God through sexual liberation.
Yes.
And in fact, that was a trick of the enemy.
Yes, it was.
You see, he says, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him. That's why you need to sit in the word so you can hear God, hear Christ.
Amen.
And be taught by him as truth is in Jesus.
Yes.
That you put off concerning the former conversational way of life, some translations say, the old man, that old man is dead, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let God renew the way you think.
Yes.
You do that by hearing his word and walking by faith and not by sight. And that you put on the new man. See that? There's a transition of the way you live. You go from an old person to a new person, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
See, so God wants to recreate you. And the good news is he accepts you however you are.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you are along that paradigm, God accepts you.
Yes.
He never casts you out.
No.
Jesus said, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out.
Yes.
So if you come to him, he will not cast you out at any time. See, so you can just stay there. Now you might say, okay, pastor, I'm struggling with some things myself. Let me give you put some hip boots on you.
All right.
Right now, everybody in here is struggling with something.
That's right.
And the Lord is not casting us out.
That's true.
He will not cast you out. You know what? You can let the devil cast you out by believing him and not believing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wants you to say, well, you know, you're the only one got that problem.
Yes.
No, we all have problems.
Yes.
But he said, whosoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. See, he doesn't want you out. He wants you in. Why? Because God is a teaching God. Have you ever thought about that? He doesn't force knowledge into your head. He's not trying to make you do anything. He only wants to teach you what's right. When you know what's right, you know what else? He didn't leave it at that. He put his Holy Spirit in you. If you trust in Christ. So you're going to have some internal leadership going on. The internal leadership is God.
Yes.
He said, I'm coming in. I'm not going to just stay over here.
Right.
Some distant God and you got to come and run around the Blarney Stone and kiss the rock and bow and all that. No, I'm moving in.
Yes.
You trust in Christ. You believe I raised him from the dead. Moving in.
Moving in.
Oh,
coming
yeah.
Right inside of you.
Yeah.
And I'm in there with you to lead you and guide you to all truth. Now, what does that mean? That means when I hear the word, bam, it's going to hit me. And I'm going to get it. I understand that now.
Yes.
See, he's giving you understanding. And that's one major feature of this knowledge of salvation by God's grace is praise. We're going to praise the Lord.
Yes.
Because he has done all this himself.
Right.
And with that comes also a new way of seeing the world and the human condition, which is mixed situations because of the existence of the lost right alongside the saved. You live in a world with saved and lost people all around you.
Amen.
Some of your intentions are still stuck in the lost way you used to live, but that old man is dead.
Right.
God says you are, Paul put it this way, he said in Galatians 2:21, I am crucified with Christ.
Right.
Nevertheless, I live, but not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Wow.
See, so that's the new life in Christ.
Yeah.
The crucified one, he allowed that old person to be put to death. He didn't take him away. He's still there, but now you have the new man. The Holy Spirit is inside, giving you new understanding of your new life in Christ. All who come by come to understand God's intense love for them. This is what God's motivation is. I want to just take 1 minute before we wrap it up. God loves you. It's a serious love, the most serious one you have ever experienced. You know, even more than your mother or your father.
Yes.
Some people say, oh, I don't have a good relationship with my mother or my father. Well, maybe we don't. But God loves you.
Yes.
And he is there. His love is so intense. It's so good that he will not ever leave you nor forsake you in any situation.
Yeah.
And he displayed it openly because he gave his son on the cross.
Yes.
As a full payment for your sins and for each one who believes, you become not only one who praises God for his marvelous works, but also devote yourself to the new way of living within God's chosen family, the church, which has power to persevere even over the gates of hell.
Wow.
You have power to persevere. Jesus said, upon this rock, I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. People have asked, what are those gates of hell? Well, there's some gates you don't want to go into. Let me put it that way. The gates of hell is a euphemism for death. Once you go into hell, that's it. It's a one-way gate. It's like the Roach Motel. They check in, but they don't check out. Bad analogy. But in either case, you don't want to go there. And Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. They will have no power over what he has done. And he came to demonstrate that to the whole world. You know what? No one else has that credential on their resume, if you will. Nobody but Jesus. You know what? I've been to a lot of funerals, sadly, have to say. But I've never seen a soul come back. There's been one in the history of time, other than those who came back temporarily, like Lazarus, who had to go back in the grave, like the widow of Nain's son, some of those who got raised, even the ones Elijah and the Old Testament prophets raised from the dead, even those that Paul raised, they had to go back to the grave, because God has a set time when he's wrapping up everything, and he showed power in the world that resurrection is possible. But when Jesus got up, it was once and for all. He got out of the grave, was seen among many witnesses for 40 days after the resurrection. Over 500 brethren, Paul said, saw him at one time. You know, some of them had already fallen asleep. He says in 1 Corinthians 15. But that's the key feature of the gospel, is that salvation is for you, and it means you have power over the grave. So that's what Jesus means when he says the gates of hell shall not prevail. You know, because some people who have not trusted him are going in those gates and they're not coming out. Amen. Because they failed to trust Christ. Yes. Whosoever believes in me, he said, will not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And he puts his seal on it. He got out of the grave. He said, my peace I give unto you. And he wants you to have peace in your mind about all that. Amen. And see, these are the most serious matters in life. You know, and they hurt the most. They have the most pain associated with it. When we lose people in death. But he says you don't have to grieve as others who have no hope. Because if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, he will bring with him those who have died in Christ. You know, and so we look forward to that. That's the hope of the resurrection that you and I have. You know, no one else offers that. You can. Other people say, oh, the only way you can be sure you're going to heaven is to die in jihad. Also, whoever that is says that you need to help God kill the enemy. What kind of God is that? You know, God can speak and people will lay down. Or he can speak again and call them up out the grave. I don't need you to kill anybody for me. You know, I have all power in heaven and earth. See, so that's a little ridiculous, even in the human sense. That someone would say the only way you can be saved is explode up yourself with a bunch of other people and then you can be sure you're going to go to heaven. Or something ridiculous like, I'm going to give you 72 virgins. You can fornicate in heaven, but you can't do it on earth. Oh, give me a break here. That's totally absurd. And you only read about foolish stuff like that. Satan knows that people are entrenched in foolishness. And so we hope that the truth will break these chains from whoever hears it. And I don't say that to be sarcastic, I guess. And I've actually prayed, Lord, I sure hope sarcasm is not a sin. If it is, I'm in bad trouble. Because I am a little sarcastic at times. I had to trade in cursing and being vulgar for sarcasm, if you will. So in either case, that's one of my things that I have to deal with. But in either case, if you're here today and you have never trusted Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. Because Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, I am the way, the truth. And the life, that's a definite article in the Greek. That means there's only one. The way, the truth, the life. And he said, no one comes to the Father but by me. So he has excluded everyone, and all I'm doing is preaching what he's saying. So if someone else doesn't believe it, that's their problem. But you can't make me change what he said, because I'm preaching what he said. And if you don't like it, you need to repent. Wherever you are. And so I'm kind of point blank on some things, and I need to be, because I mean, we have so many wuss preaching going on in the world where folks are scared to say the truth. Amen. And I'm not going to be one. Jesus said, if you're ashamed on me before men, I'm going to be ashamed on you. before my Father. And I know as bad as I am, I need him to say, Lord, that dude, that one there, he's a little crazy, but he knows me. And he's not ashamed of me. Nothing else. Yeah, he's got some issues, but I know you don't see him because my blood is covering it. But I need his testimony. He said, if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father and his holy angels. Amen. So whoever else wants to persecute me, you go right ahead. I'm sorry. I hope you don't. I hope you repent while you consider what I'm saying. Amen. So we're going to just take just a minute. Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. We exalt your name. We thank you for this assembly today, Father. We pray you bless every ear that has heard your word, Father, that they might have a peace that passeth all understanding. Father, we pray you guide us, lead us into service, because you said it is in that service and that fellowship one with another that we hone the salvation that you have given us freely, that we learn the ins and outs of what's true and what's false and how to conquer things that dominate us in the flesh. And you give us power over to tread up on scorpions and adders, you said in your word. Those would be dark things from Satan that get a grip on us, that poison our lives. And so, Father, we just thank you for the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. And we ask that you bless every mind, every heart, every home, every family. And, Father, we pray for just spiritual power that we might defeat even our own laziness and personal reasons why we put things ahead of the church. Help us, O God, to walk by faith and not by sight, that we would be obedient to your will, O God, that this year the bold proclamation of the gospel will go forth from St. Timothy and from Street Gate Ministries even to the ends of the earth, O God. We bless you. We thank you. We hope that even though it will be controversial, that you will stand with us, and we believe that you will, as you did the early church that confronted a godless, sinful culture at that time. And they took the persecution that went with the territory. We bless you today, O God. We give you praise, and we declare the gospel that it would be preached, that all would understand and receive it and be blessed who are here under the sound of my voice or hearing this even remotely or however they get this message, Father. And we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, the righteous one, that holy one who executed your holy will, that you have seated at your right hand until his next time that he comes back. And Father, we look forward. Make us ready, O God, for that day when he comes back to take us up that we might meet him in the air. We give you praise right now, O God. Help us to make even a more joyful noise and to assemble more and more ways to give you praise and sing a new song unto the Lord. We bless you, God, and we give you praise. We ask this all in Jesus' name. As our heads are bowed, bless all those that we spoke of earlier in prayer. Oh God, that they might be blessed by the presence of your Spirit. And Father, bless the church that we are going to visit, oh God, that they might be prepared to receive a blessing, oh God. And we ask this all in the matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you are not a member of a church, we'd like to give you that opportunity. I don't know that we have anyone meeting that description here today. But just in case we do, amen, we'd like to invite you to come at this time, amen. And if there's anybody here that would like to have any other